Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 4, focus on victory. Live it out. Study L2, reigning in life.
In the first study of this unit, we discovered that holiness isn't really something that we have to achieve. More, it's something that we have to manifest. That's because our new inner nature in the new creation is created holy already. So it's really learning how we activate that and draw out of what we've become already on the inside. And that's a faith walk, as we discovered. Today, we want to take it a step further and look at this idea of reigning in life. We take this phrase from Romans 5, verse 17, where Paul said, "Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." I think reigning in life here is speaking about reigning over who we are. It's not talking about bossing other people around. It's about being in charge of our own being and living in the freedom that we really have in Christ. I want to paint this picture where we're no longer bound by traits that we don't like about ourselves. We're no longer held captive in fallen, sinful ways. We don't just passively just assume that we can never really be holy, so we just leave it there. No, we need to press through into this, to the place of reigning in life. Living a life that manifests Christ is a completely different concept. It's a much better way. Let's look at what Paul said of the two keys in this verse, Romans 5:17. He says, "Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life." The abundance of grace. What is grace? Grace, very simply, is the favor of God. It's the real foundation of everything to do with the new creation. We actually come into the new creation through the favor of God. The favor of God is poured out because Jesus completely fulfilled the need at the cross. So God doesn't look at us kind of angry with us because of our sinfulness anymore. He looks at us out of this grace favor because of what Jesus did for us and what we've become in him. And here's the key, is that this word grace comes from a word meaning cheerfulness. The word joy comes from exactly the same root word. So grace is a powerful force of joy that generates freedom. It's amazing. We stand in the grace of God, Romans 5 verse 2 says. We come into it through faith, but then we stand in grace. Notice that Romans 5:17 doesn't speak about a measure of grace. God doesn't measure out grace, a portion for you, a portion for me. No, he just gives abundance of grace. There's always enough, there's more than enough. But with this connection between grace and joy, I think there's a real key here. Let's rephrase that kind of statement with the word joy, because it's really interesting. Grace comes from that same word, remember. Those who receive abundance of joy and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So the idea that holiness is this kind of heavy topic, you know, it's difficult and it's challenging and it's like crucifying the flesh. It can come across that way, like it's really cumbersome, but it's actually rooted in joy, because grace is the thing that sets us free into holy living. According to the riches of his joy, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Those who receive abundance of joy. Joy lavished on us. Grace joy is a powerful force. It's a divine energy. So it's not about like just being happy. It's about a condition of heart that recognizes acceptance before God and is able to flow in the grace that he gives. So even back in the Old Testament, we see that they were starting to grasp this. There's a very famous verse, you've probably heard it, from Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, where it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And I think it's worth taking a few minutes just to look back in context at that whole passage, because I think it's got a real key for us. So here was the whole thing with Nehemiah, where he was looking to rebuild the city. And with Ezra, he'd led the way in rebuilding Jerusalem. It had been desecrated by the Babylonians. There was a remnant of about 40,000 people, and they had first rebuilt the wall that enclosed the city. But Nehemiah was now keen to establish temple worship and sacrifice, and He had established gatekeepers and singers and Levites. And then he assembled all the people together in a plaza to hear Ezra the priest reading the law of Moses. It says this: when the people heard the teaching of the law, they began weeping. And it was at this point that Nehemiah stood up and said this: this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. And all the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them. That's Nehemiah 8, verse 9 to 12. This is so relevant for us, seeing as our theme is true holiness. This is what, let's just repeat that from this scripture again. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. Holiness doesn't work with weeping and sadness. Holiness works with joy. Holiness isn't about regrets for falling short. It's about rejoicing in the provision of God. And there's more than that even. Go and feast. Go celebrate. So today, as we pursue the lifestyle of true holiness, let's grasp this truth that this is not a heavy thing. It's not a mournful thing. It's not something that brings us down. Quite the opposite. Holiness is rooted in joy and celebration. Celebration of the victory we have in Jesus. We need to receive this abundance of grace. It's an abundance of joy. This is the first step to reigning in life. The second element from Romans 5:17 is that we must receive the gift of righteousness. Ephesians 5:24, we read in study one in this unit, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So this new self, the new creation, is in the likeness of God. It's already created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we get this as a gift from God. And we activate it and we outwork it by faith. We saw that in study one, taking a position on the truth of what we have become and then making it real in our experience. Let's make this a conscious reality. Let's apply this on an ongoing basis, drawing on the grace, tapping the joy, and declaring that we've got this gift of righteousness in us. In closing today, I just want to turn to a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Kind of links it all together. I'm going to read these four verses. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God our Savior and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace, notice that word grace again, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Wow. By these he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's what he was speaking about right at the beginning, right? You're to be holy as I am holy. We can partake of God's own nature. That's where we achieve holiness. It's by manifesting who he is, because he's on the inside of us and he's created us now in his own holy image again. Well, let's not miss the power of Peter's final phrase there. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That's in the past tense. In the new creation, we've escaped the corruption of the world. We've escaped the fallenness of the old man. We've left corruption and lust behind. So, like we've been seeing, this holiness walk is a process of outworking all we've become. Right? So even though we've become this in our spirit man, outworking it is a process. If you still have some of that corruption and lust going on in your life, you need to just engage this truth again by faith. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live in corruption or lust. Instead, Christ lives in me, living his way. The way I will live now is by engaging his life in me by faith. I'm not corrupt. I don't have lust. I live in purity and abundance of grace. Praise Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.